broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans, Sam Bushman and Kirk Cosby, live on your radio. This is the broadcast for April the 12th in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is hour two of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country in the traditions of our founding fathers. It is a freedom-loving, fantastic, we're taking America back one heart, one mind issue at a time. Wow, one heart, one mind, and one issue at a time. We got a lot of work to go, ladies and gentlemen, that is for sure. By the way, we got an actor on the radio, the good sheriff, Sheriff Richard Mack. Welcome back, sir.
Well, thanks, Sam. I guess that isn't the first time I've been called that.
All right. He's got a play going on, West Side Story, for the school that he teaches at starting tonight, right?
Yes. We had our dress rehearsal last night, and I was up quite late with that. But it's really wonderful working with the kids. The director is Marcus Ellsworth. You met his wife when you came to the school. She's the principal.
Right, exactly.
And he's the drama director. And they're opening up a new campus, Heritage Academy, very similar to the school you send your kids to, except that it's this is not religion-based, it's constitution-based. So I love that part of that of the school. They're opening up a new campus, and she's going over there, and he's going over there. So this is kind of his goodbye performance. So we're doing West Side Story, and it starts tonight, and then there's a matinee tomorrow afternoon. Tomorrow night, and I'm telling this was totally typecasting because I play Lieutenant Schrank, the detective mean.
Well, that makes sense for you to play that part. I thought you were going to be Maria.
Well,
because in the new world, you'd be Maria if you wanted to be somebody.
Rachel Quintero is that, and she does a great job, and I'm glad they didn't ask me to do anything else, but the lieutenant spot, of course, is perfect for me, except he's a little bit he's way meaner than I am, and he's kind of a racist and whatnot. There's some comments.
Hey, the world would say that fits you perfect, sir.
Yeah. Yeah.
The truth is, ladies and gentlemen, anybody who's ever met Sheriff Richard Mack in person knows that he's one of the nicest guys. And even though he may be able to take care of business when necessary, he's a pretty gentle guy by nature, too, don't you think, Kurt?
Well, yeah, you know, I mean, the average media is going to cover him like he's some gun-toting, shoot-'em-up Arizona sheriff. And yet, as far as I know, he doesn't even carry a gun, so, you know.
Well, and I know this, whenever I've never really seen him try to lead by force. I'm not saying it, you know, if it's necessary for safety that it wouldn't happen. I'm just telling you, I don't really see that being the good sheriff's style necessarily. Unless Bill Clinton goes after him now. That's kind of a different deal, right, Sheriff?
Well, my kids have actually talked about that with me, and I said, I told them that the Southern Poverty Law Center has listed me. I think you got in there once or twice also, but listed me as one of the 40 top domestic terrorists in America, and you should have seen their mouths drop. And I said, well, my record is pretty clear. I've never shot anybody. I've never beat anybody up. I've never abused any of the inmates that I had under my control. I never once was ever charged with police abuse or misconduct. I never slugged another human being. I never hit another human being. Except, and there's one, and they all know my story. I said, except, and they go, that police officer from Salt Lake City that you hit in a basketball game because he came up and he sucker punched you. But other than that, that's the only person in the 20 years I spent in law enforcement and pretty much in my life that I ever slugged. And it was kind of a self-defense thing because I don't know what in the world got into his mind, but he came up behind me and slugged me in the face. And so I decked him, and that was it. I only hit him once. But that's the only exception to that rule. I never once in law enforcement, as a patrol officer, detective, or anything else, did I ever slug or hit or strike another human being.
In over 20 years, right?
Yes, yes. And then now, for some reason,
notorious,
I get listed as a domestic terrorist where I promote violence.
And what violence have you promoted, and what domestic terrorist act have you committed?
None whatsoever, ever.
Okay,
never.
So, you know, just fake news everywhere. Nevertheless, the good sheriff is going to play the lieutenant and West Side Story. And, I just bring this up, and I know you told me before the show not to really focus on this, but I wanted to a little bit because it really gets to the character of who the good sheriff really is. He spends his time working with the youth. He spends his time helping on the West Side Story and helping in basketball games. And you know, that's where the sheriff really is most comfortable. Now, I know he's a sheriff, and he's great at that, too. But it's more about people than it is about enforcement in your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is. And I prided myself as a law enforcement officer that I would talk people into submission. A suspect, I'm talking about a suspect here, that I would talk him into jail instead of beating him into jail. And I was good at that. And my command presence was part of that. My size, I'm sure, had something to do with it. People will look at, somebody 6'3", 220 pounds, and say, no, I don't really want to fight him. But I didn't threaten them, but I would tell them the reality of the situation and say, look, you're going to jail. You don't need to make this any worse than it already is. So I took pride in that, and I'm very proud of my record as a peace officer that I don't have to look back and say, man, I wish I hadn't done that to that person, or I wish I hadn't treated people like that. And it was all about being fair and honest with people, and even scumbags. I still treated them with respect, and so that's just.
And within your balancing your law enforcement duties with civility.
Well, yeah, and I was always the highest in the department. I was always in the top 10% in arrests and DUIs, and I'm ashamed to say this part too, but traffic citations. I had to really repent for the traffic citations, and you know that story. But in fact, yesterday's lesson in our constitutional government class, I quoted an article from a Professor McLeod, who's a law school professor, who challenged a photo radar ticket. And he wrote all the things that I've been telling my class about how traffic citations are unconstitutional. And he actually told his story about how he used the same tactics and same principles of government that I, 90% of the same. And it was really gratifying to see this professor and show it on screen to our students that he uses the exact same constitutional philosophy that I've been teaching in the class. And so that's how we ended that in yesterday's class, the last class of the day. And so it's all about following the Constitution, but getting these kids to understand that they can use it themselves. And I said, when you get a ticket, this is what I want you to do. I want you, every one of you, to take it to court. I'll be happy to help you. But now you know how to do it yourself because you got this from the best sheriff in the country and a wonderful college professor, a law school professor. And everyone needs to do that in this country. And, of course, that's what you and I have dedicated our lives to, making sure that people use and know the Constitution and so that they can use it, because it's the only thing that separates us from tyrannical government. And I really wish, on top of that, that our police in this country, especially our elected sheriffs, would also do the same.
Well, in the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, CSPOA.org, there are training programs that you and others lead that really can educate police departments around the country or sheriff's offices around the country and patriotic groups about these principles, too. So, you know what? You're taking action and doing something about it is the good news.
Yeah, it is, and it's fun. It's really fun doing that. It's really seeing the light turns on. When the light turns on and the aha moment with students, but I love that even more with our public officials, especially sheriffs and police. And yes, we'd love to do our training for any of their departments, and we have. And we have now seen the fruit of that labor because we still have more and more sheriffs every week standing up and being counted, doing the courageous thing and standing for the Second Amendment and the Constitution and defending their citizens' rights. And we hope that carries over to some of our cases going on right now in Utah.
And one of the good pieces, too, is to highlight what Sheriff Mack did when he was sheriff. He had a bunch of hippies come, and they literally wanted to kind of, I don't know what you want to say, control the land and be stewards of the land and promote this environmental agenda. And literally, Richard Mack, instead of going head-to-head with them and shutting them down with Gestapo-type tactics, the good sheriff literally made friends with many of them. And he carried a girl who hurt her ankle off the mountain, and he led a trek up to where they wanted to see some things, and others didn't really even want that to happen. They were just going to shut him down. And Richard's like, listen, if you guys do these things right and, you know, cooperate, then I'll be glad to help with this. And he proved his help by leading them in and then carrying a girl out who hurt her ankle and then challenging them to a basketball game at the end and, you know, turning it into a lot of fun. And believe it or not, there are people to this day that were on the other side of that, quote, debate that are some of your most ardent supporters today, Sheriff.
Yeah, that is an amazing...
And I know that because I've met them and talked to them about this.
Yeah, I think Zach Carter was the one you're talking about.
That's one of them, yeah.
And it really was an amazing situation. And I really think how I handled that, because it was a total surprise to me that Mount Graham and Graham County would be a target for the environmental movement in the entire world. So, yeah.
Hey, man, truth is stranger than fiction, as they say. The good sheriff's with us. He's appearing in West Side Story tonight in Arizona. And all I'm telling you is this is the real side of the sheriff. Where's the mainstream press when you need them, huh?
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives, our liberties, our faith? To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm, by a friend of Medjugorje. The Strategy of Heaven, revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
With news the networks refuse to use, you are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, so Tesla in the news. Headline says, full steam ahead. We're beyond the steam systems, by the way. Nevertheless, we continue to use that full steam ahead thing, right? Anyway, Tesla working on a feature that avoids potholes. And Elon Musk says, system should be music to the ears of those who are dealing with a road hazard, Sheriff.
Well, good old Tesla. Wow. You know, it's a great car. I wouldn't mind having one of them.
Of all the problems in the world, though, hey, you know, now Elon, in my opinion, is a pretty innovative guy in a lot of ways. But at the same time, I just hear item after item after item supposedly coming out of this guy in this corporation that never turns out to be like, where the rubber meets the road. It never turns out to be real, Kurt.
Well, yeah, this is a piece from Syracuse.com, and they say, while the state of Michigan and Tesla might still have a weird relationship, CEO Elon Musk's words concerning a system that avoids potholes should be music to any Michigander's ears. When asked about future potential features on Tesla's autopilot system, Musk said, quote, definitely, end quote, to the idea that one that avoids potholes to increase tire life. This question from a Tesla driver came on the heels of Electric's Fred Lambert posing the same one to Musk hours earlier. While testing out the latest updates to Tesla's autopilot system, Lambert said he was able to keep one hand on the wheel as the vehicle controlled the vehicle from point A to B without any input from me. Lambert wrote that the only periods of driver intervention was to avoid sizable potholes on Quebec roads, which has a situation that sounds similar to ours in Michigan. So bottom line is, you know, you may not be able to avoid things like the IRS and stuff like that, but maybe you can avoid potholes, Sam, you know, in the future.
I wish it were true, but like I said, I don't see Elon's features really coming to the table for me. I mean, I just hear the guys doing all these awesome things, but it's like vaporware, man. Right?
That's what it seems like, doesn't it?
Well, I don't see, like, you know, he was going to plan it under the city tunnel system, and then that's, like, not happening. He's going to got this incredible hyperloop to get everybody super fast everywhere via these tubes and this train technology. Not happening. He's going to bore through the earth and do this, and it's not happening. He's going to put out all these cars and lower the cost. It's not happening. He gets rid of the government subsidies for his cars, and it's like, oh, now we can't sell as many cars. And then it's like, oh, man, he promised he was going to, you know, take a company public or do this or that or whatever he was going to do, or take it private. And, oh, man, now he can't do that. And he got in trouble. And I mean, it just goes on and on. This guy was supposed to have batteries that were supposed to, you know, have these pods in our homes that was going to solve the electricity problem. And, hey, man, I ain't got one. I don't even know if I can get one. Right. And so I don't mean to be rude to this guy, but I'm just saying, man, as far as I can see, Kurt, this guy's a joke.
Anyway. Well, yeah, but he knows how to take it to the bank, doesn't he, Sam?
Yes, he sure does, at taxpayer expense. All right, John Kerry's in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah. Now, I heard this from our buddy Greg just the other day. You know, I asked him, well, who do you think's going to be the Democratic nominee? And he said, John Kerry. And I was like, gosh, I haven't heard hardly a thing about John Kerry. But, you know, maybe they're going to, you know, trot him out. I just wanted to bring it up and say, do you really think they'll bring him back? But
yes.
I guess he's been, you think so?
Yeah, and
anyway,
you want to know how he starts his comeback, Curtin? John Kerry praises Ocasio-Cortez's leadership with the Green New Deal, sir.
Yeah, good point.
You want to respond to that, Sheriff? John's coming back, buddy, and he's praising Ocasio-Cortez.
Well, there, anybody who's praising her has got to be, well, is showing obviously an immense amount of ignorance, if not downright anti-American sentiment, because now Ocasio-Cortez is actually supporting and defending Omar against, even, would you believe it, the New York Times and other periodicals in New York. Because they, of course, hitting the news all over the place is Omar, who couldn't even talk about the tragedy in New York in 2001, 9/11 attack, because somebody did something. That's what she called 3,000 lives being taken in New York City on 9/11, because she is so pro-terrorist groups and is so anti-American and anti-Semitic that she can't even say what exactly happened on that horrific day, which took more lives than the Pearl Harbor attack. And she, you know, I don't think I would ever call the Pearl Harbor attack somebody that did something in Hawaii on December 7th. And this just is so Democratic. This is such a Democrat bombshell that I don't believe the Democrats will be able to survive it, but they seem to always do that. And to me, I had a teacher this week, he and I got in an argument, and he said that the Democrat Party, he said, well, who did all this stuff, you know, who did all the Jim Crow laws, who did all that? I said, the Democrats. He goes, don't try to say that the Democrats of today are the same as the Democrats of 1860. And I said, I won't. They're worse today. And he, his jaw dropped. I said, are you kidding? I said, no, I'm not. They're the party of hate. They're the party of lies, corruption. They're the party of killing innocent babies. And they're even talking about that now, to kill them after they're born. And this is exactly where we all thought this was headed. And they're also the party of enslaving entitlements. They are the party of dependency. They are the party of destroying families. They are the party.
Aren't they the party that wanted to hold on to slavery, too?
Well, yes, they, of course. They were the ones that were against civil rights. They were against, they were all for keeping slavery. They were the ones who created the KKK. And even discussing this with my students, some of them are staunch Democrats. So, well, but the Democrats are good now. I said, where was it that it happened that the Democrats spent 100 years as racists and bigots, that all of a sudden the Democrats started a deal where okay, now we'll be nice to you, so go ahead and join us.
Where did vote for me? I'm the nice guy. Lie.
Yeah, exactly.
Fake news everywhere, but John Kerry back in Ocasio-Cortez. Looks like John Kerry, the only way for him to get into the good graces of the people is to ride on Ocasio-Cortez's coattails, it looks like, Sheriff.
Well, part of that's true, Sam, but the reason that they're doing it is because Ocasio-Cortez has gotten so much positive press, but at the same time, I don't believe she'll be reelected in New York.
She's built the bridge too far. There's no doubt about it. Time will tell if the Democrat strategy makes sense or not. But however, there was a big event going on in a hate crimes hearing, and Candace Owens was there. Kurt will break down who Candace is and what happened. Kurt?
Well, our buddy Larry Pratt brought it forward and mentioned it. I just wasn't aware of it. But the headline from WorldNet Daily, Candace Owens blasts Dem lawmaker in hate crimes hearing. Subheadline, I think it's pretty apparent that Mr. Liu believes that black people are stupid. And I guess, you know, this is a
and by the way,
pretty...
Candace ahead. Owens is a black lady, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah, good point.
You got to give them the kind of context, right?
This was, right, good point. In a House hearing on white, they call it white nationalism and hate crimes, led by the Democratic Party majority, this black activist, they call her, Candace Owens, blasted a congressman for misconstruing her remarks and accused Democrats in general of using such terms for fear-mongering, power, and control. I guess talking about Ted Lieu, he's a Democrat of California, and he played a selected clip of a statement Owens made about Adolf Hitler, end quote, at a conference in London in December, insinuating she approved of Hitler's Nazi regime. Now, she came back and she says that she called it despicable, and she says, I didn't, you know, she basically just said, hey, they took it out of context. She says, he is assuming that black people will not pursue the full two-hour clip, and he purposefully extracted. He cut off, and you didn't hear the question that would ask of me. He's trying to present it as if I were launching a defense of Hitler.
Hey,
Germany.
Sheriff, are you white?
Really dark tan.
Oh, you're not white, huh?
No.
All right. Just kind of just trying to trap you there. Are you white, Kurt?
Yeah.
Quick pause. Hold on.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
words coming that former presidential candidate Herman Cain will withdraw his name from consideration for a Federal Reserve appointment. The president announcing earlier this month he'd nominate Cain to a seat on the board. Since then, at least four GOP senators say they wouldn't support the move. Now, ABC News says Cain will be pulling his name before it even gets that far. The United States wants to extradite WikiLeaks co-founder Julian Assange from Great Britain, but his lawyer, Jennifer Robinson, says the U.S. is going to get a fight.
It is unacceptable that a publisher be extradited to face prosecution in the United States for publishing truthful information, and no democratic government should be seeking to prosecute a publisher for that, and nor should any other democratic government extradite a publisher for doing that.
The Justice Department wants to charge him with conspiracy to commit hacking of a classified Defense Department computer. He was arrested yesterday in London. This is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance knows you're focusing on the road right now, so we'll just describe our newspaper print ad to you. It's a tiny square that's colored a newspaper shade of gray that has you thinking yellow. As the words read, Liberty Mutual customizes your insurance so you only pay for what you need. Now that's the kind of print ad that'll make you glad you still read newspapers.
Go to libertymutual.com for a customized quote and you could save.
Liberty, 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 liberty.
Coverage is underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates, Equal Housing Insurer.
Pros know doing it right means having what you need for any job on hand, so you're spending more time on the job site than away from it. Lowe's does it right by stocking job lot quantities of lumber, fencing, and decking, and at the right prices. Get volume savings on your next job at the Pro Desk, and save time by ordering at lowesforpros.com. Have your order delivered or pick up in store. Our dedicated Pro loaders will load you up and get you back to the job site where you belong. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. See Pro Desk for details, U.S. only.
It's been spring for more than 3 weeks, but don't tell that to over 200 million residents of the central U.S. suffering under a powerful wintry storm. National Weather Service forecaster Mark Chouinard says good news is the frozen stuff should be ending soon.
We've already had reports, though, of some areas over 20 inches of snow across South Dakota with the system, and still getting some, at least a couple more additional inches.
A man was killed in Colorado yesterday when he lost control of his vehicle and slammed head-on into a snowplow. Many roads are still closed in Colorado, the Dakotas, and Minnesota, and there are still many airline delays and cancellations. The Trump administration's new policy on transgender people in the military taking effect today. It orders service members to identify as their biological sex. An unmanned Israeli spacecraft crashes as it starts to land on the moon yesterday. Officials say the main engine broke down. And this is USA Radio News.
All right, the good sheriff avoids the question altogether, doesn't want to fall into the trap and, you know, afraid to admit that he's white. Now, Kurt Crosby says he's white. Hey, Kurt, do you believe in America First and stuff?
Yes.
Are you a nationalist?
I'm poor American, so I am a nationalist.
Are you a white nationalist, sir?
That's what I am, yeah.
Yeah, see, now the point
you're
that Kurt would make
trouble,
is,
mister.
The point is Kurt would just say he's white, yes, that's a fact, and that he's a nationalist and that he wants America first. But then what they would do is they'd put those words together and say Kurt admitted to being a white nationalist. An admitted white nationalist, and then they'll go on with their narrative, and that's completely dishonest and wrong. And the reason that I highlight that is because that's what they're doing to this lady. Now, let me be clear. That's what they're doing to this black lady.
Yeah.
Candace Owens. And the reason they're doing that to her is because she believes in conservative principles, Sheriff.
Well, that's exactly correct. In fact, that's what I was going to say to you. That was going to be my first comment. The problem isn't really who she is. The problem is her belief and support for constitutional issues and values and family values and conservative values. That's the real problem, and that's why this Liu, whoever his name is, I've never heard of him or seen him before until this incident, so maybe he's glad that he's getting some publicity. But Candace Owens is a political activist, and she's very intelligent, very nice-looking. She happens to be a black American, and
she's spot-on, Sheriff.
Yeah, and I'm actually tired of the media making that an issue. I don't really care one iota what color she is.
So let me get this right. She's black, and she stands for constitutional and moral and true principles and doesn't fall for the fake news.
Right.
Right. Sheriff is not white. He's tan. Kurt admits to being a white nationalist. Sam Bushman doesn't really know because I'm a blind person, so I might be a blind nationalist, but I'm not sure what color I am. How does all that work, Sheriff?
Well, it works because another thing I had with my American history class, my eighth graders yesterday, is because the media and a lot of our leaders in Washington, D.C., so-called leaders, want to make our country a racist nation, and they want to continue to divide us, and they know that it's easier to conquer us and enslave us and control us when we are fighting amongst ourselves, and the race card is the easiest for them to play. And so, of course, they've convinced us all brainwashed us all that there's still a racial divide in America.
And we ought to 1,000% flat out reject that narrative.
Oh, yes.
We ought to realize that we're all God's children, and we should start acting like it, Sheriff.
But Sam, I've got something else here that's going to totally blow you away. As much as you and I and Kurt have had our dealings with the Southern Poverty Law Center, about a month ago, I got a a magazine for teaching. And most of them I ignore. In fact, I put this on the counter and just left it on my counter in my room. It's called Teaching Tolerance. Are you smelling a rat yet?
Oh, yeah. The second you whip out that tolerance word, buddy, catering to your values until they get over you, and then they're their values. And tolerance only goes one way, buddy.
Well, I had one of my students, and she happens to be very dark-complected. She's a wonderful girl. She's originally from Ethiopia, and she says, Sheriff, you should not have this magazine in here. And I said, what? She says, it's inappropriate. She looked at the front cover again and with a friend of hers, and they opened up a drawer and hid it in a drawer. And I said, what's the matter with you? She goes, this is really inappropriate. This should not even be in this school. And so I looked on the back of it, and indeed it was sent to me. Mr. Richard Mack, U.S. history teacher, Heritage Academy, gives the address of the school. And on the very front cover, it says, equity, period. And, Sam, I'm sorry to bring up this kind of a sensitive subject, but this is what the magazine said, and this is why this girl was doing this. It shows on the front various pictures of tampons and women hygiene products right on the front cover, which I did not notice before. All I saw on the front cover was a little book open and a pencil and some
paper. And a tolerance message. And you're like, okay, I'll see that later if I get time.
And yeah. And so I read the little caption and it says, normalizing menstruation reduces student anxiety and makes school policies fairer. Here's how to join the movement for menstrual equity. And I said, are you absolutely out of your ever-loving mind? And so I opened it, and I said, who in the world sent such trash? And I showed it to two principals at our school, and they said, oh, my goodness, and their mouths were aghast. And I looked this up, and who puts this newspaper or this magazine out? None other than the Southern Poverty Law Center.
Yeah, and tolerance.org is involved as well.
Good grief. Oh, my God.
It's called the Teaching Tolerance Magazine, isn't it?
Yep, that's what it's called.
Yeah, it's a spring edition. Spring 2019 edition of the Teaching Tolerance Magazine.
Yeah.
And then it goes on and talks about examines the menstruation movement. And it's called the Menstruation Equity Movement, ladies and gentlemen. This is no joke. It is true.
It's a joke to me.
Well, when I say it's no joke, it's no joke. They're putting that in front of your children and the faculty educators to indoctrinate.
And if there's any teacher in the world who takes this seriously, then their heads ought to be examined. Menstruation equity? Menstrual equity.
Yes, and it's the menstruation equity movement, sir.
Okay.
And it's about so much more than access to free products, Sheriff. I mean, it's beyond, you can't even discuss this stuff with a straight face, sir.
Oh, I know. And how does the Southern Poverty Law Center still get credibility in this country? I guess because we have such insane people. We have Omar insanity. We have AOC insanity. John Kerry joining both of them in their insanity. And you know what? I don't think this has ever been an easier time for Republicans to show how racist and bigoted the Democrat Party is and how they're going to survive that. But they will, because you know why? We have a stupid, complicit media, and we have a bunch of brain-dead people in this country that can't see that the new Green Deal and menstrual equity is such an insane thing going on in our country. And this brainwashing thing, Sam, is something we've just studied because we studied Hitler. But it worked.
Now, here's what's fascinating. This girl is spot on. I don't know who she is, but she's very wise, Sheriff.
Which girl?
The girl that pointed this out to you and got you up to speed on what the heck's going on around here.
No kidding.
See, the students are getting wiser is the point.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, what did you think of the basketball game the other night, Sheriff?
Which one?
Yeah, there's so many of them, you can't even keep track of
them. I'm just pointing out the idea that we don't want to really talk about stuff like this. I mean, we gotta talk about something important.
Okay, I got you. That was a good one, Kurt.
All right, I'm going to put in three words into Google here, gentlemen. I'm going to put in, let's see, what's this thing? Menstruation Equity SPLC. That's what I'm typing in there now, and boom.
Anything?
There you go. Yeah.
Well, I'm sure it's all there. I'm sure the SPLC.
The first article that comes up is splccenter.org.
I'm sure they're proud that they're leading the way in menstruation equity.
It's the Southern Poverty Law Center that comes up with kind of the teaching tolerance idea, and then the magazine is what, an outreach of the SPLC, basically, is how it works?
It looks like it, yeah. It's their magazine.
SPLC. Off the rails. But see, they're so good. They're so clever. They got pro-choice and teaching tolerance. Are you for those things, Kurt?
Of course I am, Sam.
Yeah, so you have to be, buddy, or you're a bigot and a hater.
That's right.
You know, I mean, you got to be for teaching tolerance. What do you want, intolerance, my friend? Mm-hmm. I mean, you're for pro-choice. What are you, anti-choice, Sheriff? See, and they're so good at their marketing is the problem, and we just fall for it like suckers, man.
I think they've gone too far on this one. I can't wait to share this with the reporter who did that story on me a couple of weeks ago. Because he, of course, quoted the SPLC in his article, and I want to tell him, this is the kind of organizations you give credibility to.
Who?
The guy that last article, it kind of got passed around, and we said, and my bottom line opinion on it was, for a liberal periodical, it was pretty good. I can't remember the guy's name, Travis something. Anyway,
You're not. You're not for normalizing menstruational discussions, Sheriff? What, do you hate women or something? See, you just can't win with their propaganda, ladies and gentlemen, unless you're honest and open and moral. It is about God, family, and country. And I will not retract or back away from any of it. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. The good Sheriff Richard Max on your radio.
I'd advise Mr. Trump to stop whining and go try to make his case to get votes.
The press has created a rigged system. They even want to try and rig the election.
Well, I tell you what, it helps in Ohio that we got Democrats in charge of the machines.
And poisoned the mind of so many of our voters.
At the polling booths, where so many cities are corrupt and voter fraud is all too common. And then they say, oh, there's no voter fraud in our country.
I come from Chicago. So I want to be honest. It's not as if it's just Republicans who have monkeyed around with elections in the past. Sometimes Democrats have too. You know, whenever people are in power, they have this tendency to try to, you know, tilt things in their direction.
There's no money.
You start whining before the game's even over. Whenever things are going badly for you and you lose, you start blaming somebody else. Then you don't have what it takes to be in this job.
Hi, I'm Patty, wife of former Congressman Steve Stockman. In Congress, Steve sought impeachment of Eric Holder for his corruption of the Justice Department and his fast and furious gun running that caused Border Agent Brian Talley's death. Steve called for arrest of Lois Lerner for her contempt of Congress as it investigated her targeting of conservative nonprofit groups. After 4 years, four grand juries, and millions of tax dollars, Steve Stockman is in prison. His case involved four checks to nonprofits. DOJ has one standard for Hillary Clinton, but another for folks like President Trump and my husband. We've spent all our savings, all Steve's retirement, and much of mine. Steve Stockman has fought for you and America. Won't you join me now to fight for Steve? To help, text FIGHT to 444-999. Text F-I-G-H-T to 444-999 or go to defendapatriot.com. Defendapatriot.com.
All right, there's battles and discussions everywhere. We need to bring a era of civility back to America. I'll tell you that right now, ladies and gentlemen. Candace Owens blasting a Democratic lawmaker. SPLC promoting, quote, menstrual normalcy based on the, quote, teaching tolerance movement they've started. They even have Teaching Tolerance magazine, the good sheriff getting a copy, compliments of the Southern Poverty Law Center. So let me ask you a question. You're telling me that the Southern Poverty Law Center sent a magazine to one of the most greatest notorious terrorists in the world, Sheriff? Wow. That gets kind of crazy, man.
Yeah.
Maybe they're backing and funding and fomenting terrorism.
Yeah, somebody, I guess, didn't notice the name on that one, and they just computer-generated it.
Okay. Or maybe they just think you're so radical they want to teach you tolerance. Maybe that's it.
Yeah, they're trying to change my political views, I guess, and make me more menstruation sensitive.
That's right.
And good, politically good correct menstrually.
You probably don't know anything about that with a wife and daughters, but hey, who's counting?
This really has never come up at their schools or within our family that they were looking for menstruation equity, and I would have been totally on board with that, and I would have contacted the SPLC for help on that.
That's a good point. But,
you know, Sam, the reporter who did that story on me, his name is Travis Dunn.
Travis Dunn.
And
you ought to forward that, you know, equity thing to Travis and say, Travis, I need you to help me with this, buddy.
Yeah, he's going to hear about this teaching tolerance period equity.
Hey, did you just say period?
Yeah, that's what the article
Sheriff.
Says. I'm just quoting the article.
I'm just saying you can't use that word. That has a negative connotation there, buddy. It's kind of like using the N-word or something. The P word.
I didn't know that.
See what I'm talking about? I mean, dude, how dare. See how ignorant and, I mean, what do you expect from a terrorist and a bigot? See? Hey, by the way, there's a new study out. Assault weapons and magazines and their ban do not lower homicide rates. Kurt, with the
details. So we were talking about magazines.
Yes, sir.
You know, here. And so in this case, this is a different kind of a magazine. They say they haven't, you know, they haven't really lowered anything. But, of course, remember, Sam, you don't want to get the facts in front of, that'll mess up the whole story, you know.
But Kurt, that only means they have to do more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to study it more until they find it out. That's what the headline from Breitbart says. Assault weapons and magazine bans. Now, not magazines like the sheriff was talking about, but different kinds of magazines for bullets. Do not lower homicide rates, but don't mess up the information with the facts. I mean, you know, no more just the facts, ma'am, stories, right?
Yeah.
All right. Kurt wants to tell you about parenting woes, too, ladies and gentlemen. This is kind of rowdy.
Parenting tolerance.
Parenting woes, you said, right, Sam?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's the headline. Reads, parenting woes. New study shows some boys having sex before 13. They say parents may have to talk with their sons at an earlier age. Yeah, you know, like pre-born children or whatever. But this is USA Today
Well, if you kill them, you don't
piece.
Have to have that talk, Kurt.
See, yeah, you're saving that whole problem. USA Today's got this piece. It says parents may still be reminding their preteen kids to brush their teeth, clean their room, and turn their book report in on time, but are they forgetting something? Yeah, they say, like having the sex talk. And they say the Journal of Medical, JAMA, they call it, the Journal of American Medical Association Pediatrics, found that 3.6% to 7.6% of boys and young men say they're having sex before age 13, or that's 1 in 13 boys. Now, what I find interesting is they don't put anywhere in this story that there's a way you can kind of fix this, but at least these children are not being subject to the things like the Ten Commandments and others, you know, that we used to have to be subject to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, if you're going to say there's a way to deal with it, you got to tell us how, buddy. Come on now.
Well, I mean, parents might tell them you're not supposed to do that, and, you know, that's only supposed to you're only supposed to participate in that in the bonds of marriage.
That's Sam, right. Imagine telling something like that, though. It's hate-filled messages like that.
Yeah, good point.
Now, I think they ought to start telling all these little boys about the menstruation normalization ideas, and pretty soon the boys will be like, I'm out. What do you think, Sheriff?
Yeah. Well, yeah, it just gets crazier and crazier, and I guess maybe that could be the underlying theme of today's show.
What, I'm out?
No, that we're crazy.
Crazier and crazier. Yeah,
as a society, you mean?
Oh, of course.
Well, heck yeah.
I mean, Sam, look at Steele, the people that give credibility to these things, and that SPLC has any credibility left anywhere is astonishing to me. They must be the best ones at spinning their stuff because, well, or it's just this. They are so well funded, and you put enough money into anything, you know, propaganda and brainwashing works, and heck, you know what? This magazine came for free, so if you can keep spreading those things, and I seriously still want to know, how many teachers look at that and go, oh, yeah, man, we really need to look at that. And
darn right.
Instead of doing what I did and the principals throwing it in the trash, I literally had to go back to the trash can and pick it out of the trash can because I said, man, Sam and Kurt and the rest of the country need to hear about this.
Amen to that. There you have it, folks. Devin Nunes in the news, Kurt.
Well, I was going to ask the sheriff about this. He is basically saying that, you know, there's going to be some somebody looking into this. The headline from Breitbart, Devin Nunes sends criminal referrals to AG Barr, that's the Attorney General Barr, alleging potential violations in Russia probe. What do you think will happen there?
And Nunes doesn't even have the report yet.
Yeah, there you go.
And so how could he, I mean, these people, oh my gosh, yeah.
Criminal referrals, buddy.
Yeah. Criminal.
I mean, I don't even understand this. Is it against? Is there a referral about Hillary or what, Sheriff? With Devin's.
Well, that's
send.
The thing. You know, the Democrats. You know, but the Republicans play it too. But that's why George Washington was so correct that the two-party system would be the destruction of America. We're seeing it. We're watching it. And Washington looks smarter and more prophetic every day because this is so the reason. Because they will not be fair, they will not be honest, because they're too busy promoting their damnable party agenda. And they're all about power and winning. It has nothing to do with helping our country or even helping the people. Those, oh, we want to help the people, we're going to give you free stuff, and we're going to do reparations now. And my God, haven't we done reparations yet? I mean, we started the war on poverty in 1963 or four, and we spent how many trillions of dollars on all of that, and there's no reparation in any of that. But I'm telling you what, as soon as the reparations start, I'm filing for mine, and I guarantee you I'm going to be dead serious about it.
All right, there you have it. We need to file. We need to get involved at every turn possible. A couple of stories left before the end of the hour. John Kerry in the news, possibly going to be running, wanting to get some headlines, following on what Ocasio-Cortez coattails, as we've seen. But now John Kerry, a representative, Thomas Massie, questioning his what, pseudoscience degree? Is this really happening, Kerry?
Well, so Thomas Massie's one of my favorite guys in Congress.
Yes, he is.
And, you know, so he had, I guess he had John Kerry in there, and he asked him, you know, about his degree or whatever. And I guess he says, is it a political science degree? And Kerry said, yes, political science. And he said, my regret. And he says, how do you get a Bachelor of Arts in a science? Kerry says, well, it's a liberal arts education and degree. It's a bachelor. And Massie says, okay, it's not really science, so I think it's somewhat appropriate that somebody with a pseudoscience degree is here, pushing pseudoscience in front of our committee today. And Kerry said, are you serious? I mean, this is really seriously happening here? Massie says, you know what? It is serious. You're calling the president's cabinet a kangaroo court. Is that serious? Kerry says, I'm not calling his cabinet a kangaroo court. I'm calling this committee he's putting together a kangaroo committee. Massie says, are you saying he doesn't have educated adults there now? Kerry says, I don't know who has it. It has yet, because it's secret. Why would he have to have a secret analysis of climate change? Anyway, later, Kerry says, or Massie asks him, well, what was the CO2 like back in, I think it was, the Ice Age? And Kerry said, oh, it was about 406 to 350. He says 350 was the level that scientists have said is dangerous. Massie says, 350 is dangerous? Wow. Are you aware that since mammals have walked the planet, the average atmospheric carbon dioxide has been over 1,000 parts per million? Anyway, the bottom line is, Massie pointed out that Kerry's pretty stupid. They're not going to have a story like this, though.
Hey, Sheriff, did you hear that Kim Kardashian is an understudy with an attorney right now, and she plans to take the California State Bar in 2022, sir?
Why is she waiting so long? Why is she just doing it?
Because you got to do 4 years. If you don't go to law school, government school, then you got to do 4 years as an understudy with an attorney, and she's halfway through it right now.
Understudy. Okay.
So kind of interesting. Or an apprentice. I don't know what you call it. But nevertheless, Kim Kardashian, maybe you can get a hold of Kim and have her advocate for the prisoners, Sheriff.
Yeah, I've been wanting to do that. Please tell her to call me.
Well, you got to get a hold of her somehow, buddy.
I'll invite her. Yeah, I know. How do we do that? That's the big question.
Kurt will help you. Kurt's got that handled. By the way, weekly jobless claims are in the news is our final story. Kurt?
Well, yeah, Sam, it looks like, you know, in my opinion, more good news section, even when, you know, it's kind of impossible to find good news. CNBC is reporting weekly jobless claims lowest since 1969 points to sustained labor market strength, and they say the number of Americans filing applications for unemployment benefits dropped to a 49.5-year low last week. Whoa, that's
low. I wonder if Democrats like that or don't like it.
They don't like it,
of course,
Sheriff Mack.
Why would they like it, Sheriff?
Well, I thought they would be grateful that.
How's that going to help the menstrual equity movement, sir?
Yeah. Well,
I'm joking, but I'm making a point. That's how they are, though. There's nothing good they can focus on.
I know. My goodness, Sam.
And it's not above these guys to literally do that, just like I did to you. It's like, well, how does that help the men? How does that help global warming, Sheriff?
Why aren't they doing a criminal investigation on Elizabeth Warren falsifying her application?
What are you talking about? She cares about the Indians so much, she got a little confused. And other than that, no harm, no foul, right, Sheriff? What are you, some kind of a racist anyway?
Well, make that Native American president then.
Well, we're working on it, sir.
Good.
See, that's how they go. I mean, it's just crazy town. Anyway, it'll get worse and better all at the same time. The good will promote good, and the bad will promote bad, and the divide will get even greater, and you'll know whose side whom, that's for sure. As for me and my house, I'm on the Lord's side who, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for being alongside for the ride, Sheriff.
Thank you.
CSPOA.org. Join today. That's CSPOA.org. Or check out thefreedomcoalition.com to see our work on prison reform. We declare this nation shall endure. God save the Republic of the United States of America.